This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How we doing today on this Tuesday? It is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, watching us on the Bama Central Facebook page. We're live on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon, right wherever you get the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We would love and appreciate you having us on your favorite platforms. We're live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios just off McFarland Boulevard here in Northport, just past the Tiger Rock on the left. You can come see Derek and his crew. They'd love to talk to you about all your insurance needs. We're going to have a fun show today, hopefully a fun show today, with my friend Mason Woods. We're going to talk about a little Alabama basketball. We're going to talk a little Alabama football. We're going to talk a little college football playoffs. And we might get into some fake sports like the NBA. So we'll just talk about it. Some fun things today on the Joe Gaither Show. Of course, we invite you to jump in and join us on the comment section at Joe Gaither 6 on the social media machines. You can leave us a voicemail. Mason, I forgot my little guest appearance yesterday. I had to put my name and didn't put the phone number. So I got to re-up the phone number. Once you start going, I'll change that. The phone number is 205-462-7340, extension 800. If you want to leave us a voicemail, Dax left us a voicemail yesterday predicting an 11-1 Alabama football season going. He went week by week by week. He had us, he had the Crimson Tide losing to South Kakalaki. So he had everybody else taking care of business. So if you want to leave us a schedule prediction or talk about anything that's on your mind, Alabama football, basketball, or just not even sports related, that is okay. 205-462-7340, extension 800. You follow Mason Woods at MA Woods _. Send him all your comments, questions, queries, and complaints. He's writing all things recruiting for the Walsh Writing Network and back in action after the weekend. Mason, how we doing?
Oh, I'm doing good today. Doing good. Getting ready for hopefully a big week on the recruiting trail. We're looking for some commitments coming up soon. Let's see. I think this week, I want to say Sadarian Morgan's getting ready to announce tomorrow. So we should be ready for it. So
Time for Mr. Morgan? Do you know?
I don't know what time yet. I'll have to double check.
All right. Where do we say Benjamin Russell? Where do we? How far away do we say Benjamin Russell was? Wasn't it closer to the state line?
Yeah, it was. I think a couple hours. I think.
Benjamin Russell directions. Let's see. It's going to take us 2 hours. 2 hours, yes. And it is East Alabama, Eastern Alabama. If you can give us the time on that sometime today, it doesn't have to be right now. But
No, it's not Sadarian Morgan. I've got these all confused. They're all running together now.
It's okay. All right, good. I was just going to say, man, would you like to Sadarian go over
Morgan
it?
Is going to be July 2nd.
Okay. That's good. Plenty of time.
Who is the 14? Is that Jonas Walton? I think it is Jonas Walton, running back, which is one I am not exactly sure.
If he's yes, be Jonas Walton, May 14th is what this says.
Yeah, not 100% sure if he's going to be picking up. I mean, I do think he has had some good connections.
Dang, who wrote this? Mason Woods on May 8th wrote this. So you don't think he's coming to Bama?
I haven't seen a ton of smoke that way. You know,
anything can happen. Go ahead.
Sure, anything can happen. But usually, you know, you follow these the people that cover it and everything. You see a lot of stories about so and so in this school, so and so in this school, and usually that kind of leads you. All right, they're talking with them a lot. I've not seen a ton of that about Jonas Walton in Alabama recently. I do think he was here. I want to say for Junior Day. I don't know if he was here for A Day or not. I can't remember. But yeah, I don't know I don't know quite how that relationship is at this moment. He might be looking at some other schools, but he's choosing between Alabama, Tennessee, Stanford, Notre Dame, and Florida. So we will see.
24/7 crystal balls have him going to Notre Dame. So good luck to you, Jonas.
Make it 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, make a good decision. 3 o'clock tomorrow. We'll be looking forward. If you choose the Tide, we'll all celebrate. And if you choose somebody else, we'll say good luck, buddy.
Yeah.
Awesome. So it's going to be great on the recruiting trail. Cannot wait for it. Everett Osmer chimes in. Oh, yes. Rey Mysterio Jr. and Randy Orton. Yay to start the week. I think that's fun nicknames for us. That would be great if we were one time. But, you know, thanks, Everett, for chiming in and joining us on the comment section.
And I wonder how Ray's doing now.
He just had that surgery.
Yeah, okay. Ever since that, you know, the apparent injury.
Yeah, they said he said he tore his groin. Ow.
Yeah, I can't.
50 something.
Maybe hang it up, you know.
Yeah, 50 something years old. It's okay, buddy.
Maybe
it's,
you know, I could see you. Maybe you get back, you come back for one final, but let's not. You don't need to be out there, buddy. Let Dominic carry it. He's doing a pretty good job.
He was incredible at that clash. Oh my gosh,
that like jumping.
The suicide dive DDT. Awesome. I lost my brain.
I've never seen something like it. That was the coolest move ever.
I was like, oh yeah, Dom, you're a real hooper. You just need more opportunities. And like, there's just something about him. He's got the Eddie Guerrero vibe where I don't care that he's a bad guy. It's just cool.
I'm going to root for him.
Yeah. Yes, I will root for him whenever. All right, but that's not why the people wanted to watch this show. They want to watch the show for Alabama sports topics. Let's talk about LeBaron Fylon, because that's the most newsworthy place, for me at least, to start. Yesterday, NBA Draft Combine. Yeah, let me pull up. NBA Draft Combine gets going in Chicago yesterday. And Mr. LeBaron Fylon is participating some, but not all. He is not, apparently, he was not participating in the five-on-fives, the open run, per se, but did get himself measured. Let's take it one piece at a time. Didn't participate, is not participating in the five-on-fives. We first took that as, maybe he's coming.
Why is that?
Maybe he's coming back to school, but I think it's the other way. I think, unfortunately, it's the other way. I think that he's gotten some really good discussions with team X, Y, and Z,
sure,
and thinks that he is a top 20 pick and does not want to go out there and play poorly. I don't think he would, but more likely get injured, roll an ankle, you know, have something catastrophic happen. Oh my gosh. I don't want that for anybody in the draft process. That'd be the worst time for all of them, no matter where they went to school. But LeBaron sitting out the five-on-fives, and rumor mill is that he's got really, really good feedback.
I mean, I could certainly see him getting good feedback from the league. I don't think that's crazy at all. I think anybody, you know, can see the potential there, can see the good things that he's able to do on the court, can see what he did at Alabama this year. He's still a little small. You know, he measured in less under 6'3". He's still going to be an undersized guy compared to kind of what the NBA is moving towards now. So I am wary of that. Keeping him out of a top 20 pick potentially, but isn't that kind of, that's what he's hearing. So I hope the best for him. I hope that he is a top 20 pick. Hope that he's a top 15, top 10 pick. But we will just have to see.
Yeah, go be the next recruiting superstar, sure, like little bullet point for Nate Oates by being the 8th overall pick or something.
Get your jersey hung up in the hallway there.
LeBaron officially measures yesterday at 6'2¾", barefoot. Mason, real quick, as you swallow that, type in Roll Tide and see what he was listed. If he was listed, he wasn't listed much higher. 6'4" is okay. That's not too much fudging, and especially you get the inch in the shoe, right? This is 6'2¾", barefoot, 174 pounds, 6'6¼" wingspan, 8'3½" standing reach. So standing way up tight, hold your arms up. It's 8'3". You know, I do agree, smaller, but the wingspan and length makes you just, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think that probably is what is keeping him in discussions here. He's listed at 6'4", 177 at Alabama.
So add the shoe.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? Good job, Alabama.
Yeah, good on you. I do hate when teams lie about that stuff.
Yes.
It's so dumb to me. I think it's just pointless. You know, for years, Kevin Durant was listed at like 6'10", 6'11", when we all know he's well over 7 feet tall. It's just, I don't understand why teams do this. It seems like in college it happens a lot, and I don't know if it's some weird way of trying to like generate buzz for players or something by listing them.
We're just trying to mess with other team scouting reports.
I guess something. I don't know what it is, but we need to stop. It's really dumb.
But I'm good with that. 6'2¾" barefoot translates into 6'4" in the shoe. I'm good with that. And well done, Alabama, for that. That saying, NBA draft combine, or excuse me, NBA basically ESPN's Jonathan Givney has LeBaron Pylon going 36th overall. Now that's ESPN. That's one outlet. That's one pundit. I would say if he gets drafted, if he is not a first round pick, this is that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you 1,000%. JD Davison.
Right, and I'm really, really hoping that, like, golly, we do not need to have this play out this way. Mm. At least be top 30. I know he thinks he's a top 20 pick, and apparently that's been the feedback, and who am I to say he's not, because I think he's awesome. But, man, I hope that's the right gamble. I hope that it plays, because if it plays out to where he's picked 21 to 30, okay, it's still fine. But then once you pass, it's 30, right? Mm-hmm. Once you pass into the 31st pick, you're this first pick in the second round, your guaranteed money is gone. Yep. And you could be in a Herb Jones situation where you impress early and you get a fat contract. Or you could be maybe a name we all remember. Trenton Watford leaves LSU, a former Alabama boy from Mountain Brook, leaves LSU and goes to the Blazers. And he's still in the G League, maybe, or not at all. I don't know. Julian Lee on the Facebook machine says, hello, Joe Gaither and Mason Woods. Our friend Julian saying hey to you. Oh, my gosh. So I hope that the gamble plays. If the feedback we're hearing, top 20 pick, then perfect.
Great. I think it's a worst-case scenario if he falls out of the first round here, because then not only do you basically lose it as a recruiting chip, LeBaron gets the worst situation for him by being a second-round pick, not having any guaranteed money, having to basically negotiate his own contract. Alabama does not get a good player back if they could have got. It's just bad for everyone in this scenario. So, yeah, I sincerely hope that he is at bare minimum, a top 30 pick, but, you know, a top 20 ideally.
Well, I think that this news or this, like, not news, but these little developments, these little whispers are pretty much pushing us to the camp that LeBaron's gone and you got to replace him.
Yeah, I think that's unfortunately what you're going to have to do now.
He said as much right off the bat. Sure. So I appreciate that. You said right off the bat, hey guys, not messing with your emotions. I'm all in on going pro. Yeah. Unless they tell me bad, like not good things.
Yeah, I think he made it pretty clear. But replacing him is not an easy thing to do. You don't just go pluck another LeBaron Pylon out of the transfer portal or, you know, out of this recruiting class. He's a special player. The things that he was able to do for this offense, on the defensive end as well, but really offensively, like just opening things up for Mark Sears to be able to distribute the ball well. He was very, very special this season. That's not going to be something that is easily replaceable.
No, it is not. But this will take us to our next topic of the day, because Alabama is heavily flirting with a recruit or a transfer portal player. And we should talk about him before he agrees to come and be a part of the program. Cause I think that, I think we're on the 5-yard line with this player. That's where I think we are. Now, obviously when you're on the 5-yard line, you can still have a turnover and not score. So like, hey guys, it may not happen. but I think you're on the 5-yard line with Keyonte Jones, Cal State Northridge player who had committed from Cal State Northridge to go to USC and be a Trojan. But Mr. Chad Baker-Mazzara goes to USC and Keyonte Jones goes back in the portal. What I've seen over the weekend is that Keyonte Jones was in Tuscaloosa at the Alamite and talking about what was his Instagram? Oh, they supposed to be my rivals or something like that. And I don't quite get that, if there's a history there with Keyonte Jones, Cal State Northridge. I don't quite, or if it was just the Chad Baker-Mazzara replaced me, so I'm going to go, you know, get after all. I don't know. But the photo was 1,000% in the Alamite Hotel. So I know that he was in Tuscaloosa. And I think that this might be a decent little player for Alabama to look at. 6'6", 190. And my man says averaged 13 points last season, 9 rebounds a game, 4 assists at Cal State Northridge. So obviously, big fish in a small pond here. Big fish in a small pond. Let me zoom in because my eyes are terrible. Last year, 38% three-point shooter, 50% from the floor, almost 70% from the free throw line. So we got to get that up a little bit higher, my friend. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Do we have totals?
And almost averaged a double-double, 9 rebounds, 13 points. Let's see.
There's my totals. Offense, defense. 38% on only 34 three-point shots taken.
I love that.
Is this Mo D? Is this Mo D replacement?
Six foot six,
9 rebounds a game, four assists, getting to the rim. I'm watching YouTube highlights right now. Passing, assist. We lost a dog. We want to go get some. Go get one.
Seemingly, I'm not sure if he's going to just slide right in and fill the roles the way that Mo D
tall
did.
Task.
I think he fits the bill. If we're looking for somebody to take that, 6'6", 192 with the stat line he had last season, I'm watching a little bit of his highlights here, obviously.
All this is at the rim, isn't it?
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. If you can get a guy like Mo D that just was not afraid to get down there and get in there and throw some elbows, throw some shoulders around and, work for his points, that's great.
College basketball scouting, this video we're both watching has him 74% of his attempts of his field goals are at the rim. Love that. Go attack the basket, my friend.
Welcome aboard.
Keyonte Jones looks like that's about where I want to leave it because I don't know much more than that with his recruitment. I think that he's looking for a new home because I think he wanted to have a nice role at USC. Baker Mazzara comes in, gets a big payday, and he says, "I got to go find me a role." I think we could use a guy like this. Attacking the basket, long. Maybe the dribble needs to be a little bit better, but I think you could use a guy like this.
The paint, you don't got to dribble much.
Slash, baby. He's caught a couple lobs here on this on this highlight tape. Now, obviously, 6'6". What conference is Cal State Northridge? Are they even Division I? Cal State Northridge basketball. I mean, they got to be Division I. Everybody's Division I, right? Yeah, they do. Big West. Big West competes in the Big West Conference of NCAA Division I. So last year, they were... Oh, there's your roster. Take me to the schedule, please. Men's basketball schedule. How bad were they? Oh, they weren't bad. They were 22-11, 14-6 in conference play. Yeah, 10-3 at home. Do you have any notables? Anything notable here? Utah, Denver, Montana State. Okay, USC, they lost 69-90. I guess that's where he was recruited. He said, "Hey, buddy, hang on. We'll come get you." And then lost in the NIT. They made the NIT, lost in the NIT, 87-70. So let's see what Mr. Keyonte Jones did in some of those games that were a little bit bigger. Stat logs, game logs right there. Oh, wrong clip. I want you. Sports Reference, not ESPN. Keyonte Jones, as the internet loads, he went, okay, against USC. Against UCLA, this is 2 years ago. Oh, it scored 12 points, got himself 5 rebounds. Okay, we like that. We definitely like that. The next season, here we go. This is the most recent season. Southern Cal, give me that USC game. Yeah, Southern Cal, he scored 17 points. He had 17 points. Oh, my. Yeah, we want you, buddy. 17 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists.
Yeah, no, this is the kind of player we're looking for.
Yeah, on 7-14 shooting against SC, he was 0-1 from the three-point line. That's fine. You're not overdoing it, my mans.
We don't need you, Ryland Griffin.
Yeah. Okay, let me go down to this Stanford game. His last game with Cal State Northridge, he scores 18 points. Okay, not as good. Only 5 rebounds and 3 assists. But really, I am... slightly encouraged.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. I think this could be a good addition to the team. Like I said, I don't know. It's going to be hard to immediately replace the production of Mo D from last year, but give him a little bit of time to get in here and get comfortable, and I think by the end of the season we could be very happy with his input if he does indeed commit to Alabama. If he does commit to Alabama,
where are we at numbers-wise?
Right now I think we're there at 11.
Okay.
So that gives you 12. And what, you got up to 15 now, so you got three spots still floating around.
I probably wouldn't touch them.
Yeah, I don't even know if I need to.
I'd go find your best five high school seniors in the state of, or your best three high school seniors in the state of Alabama that don't have scholarships and say, hey, buddy.
Welcome aboard. Yeah, this is going to be, this team is going to have so much length. If, I mean, you know, obviously you still have Aiden Holloway, who is going to be your smallest player at 6'1", but outside of him, I mean, it's Littrell at 6'3", Houston Millett 6'5". You got Noah Williams coming in as a 7-footer. You're bringing in three recruits who are 6'6 or taller.
This is Nate Oates saying, gosh darn it, Duke. I couldn't move around you. Yeah. Couldn't get around you. Couldn't get through you. The length of Duke. So you've seen, this is funny to me, and then this is just clicking. You've seen, you lose to San Diego State in Sweet 16, like burn my eyeballs out in Louisville, and Nate Oates says, man, that team was really old. And what does he do? He goes and gets older transfers. I love this. And then you lose to, like, you lose to UConn. All right, you lost to UConn in the Final Four.
Everybody lost to UConn.
Yeah, what can you do, right? But then you lose to Duke, and you're like, man, that team's really they were really long. We need to get longer. We need to get taller guard play. Every time, people can yeah about Nate Oates here and there, and okay, I will admit he's not infallible, but I am a huge fan. Yep. I love, man, this team knocked us out of the tournament for this reason. We got to fix that. We got to steal some of that.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to go about building your team. I think year to year, considering there's the state of college basketball right now, where you basically do have to build your team every single year. There's almost no consistency with your roster. There's hardly any rollover. I think that's a good way to do it when you are constantly having to fill 5, 6, 7 spots on your roster every offseason. All right, well, what beat us last year? Let's go get guys that will prevent that.
Whew, a lot of fun, Mason Woods. Looking forward to it. In Nate Oates, we trust. If LeBaron comes back or not, that will just be another aspect of the next season. But I think Coach Oates, I kind of feel like we got to move on without him. We got to assume that he's not coming back.
Yeah.
This is a Josh Primo situation where you just rose up the draft boards way too quickly. Somebody fell in love with his butt at the Purdue game and said, "We don't care. we're going to use that guy."
Yeah, good for him. I hope, you know, like we said, I hope that he is a hope that, well, I don't even know when the NBA draft is. What is it?
June
something. It's end of June, I think, maybe. I hope that
June 25, Wednesday, June 25.
I hope that he is a top 20 pick.
Absolutely, because that's just good. It's going to help everybody if he is, and if he's not, it's just going to be like, oh man, really? Yeah, man.
I don't want to see another guy take the JD Davison route. While he is tearing it up in the G League MVP, you see him on the sideline during the Celtics games. If you're watching it, you know
he's about to get some run, baby.
He might if they keep going this way.
No, Jason Tatum. We need somebody. I mean, they're not the 1-to-1. Definitely not 1-to-1. But no, like,
he's like the 11th guy on that bench, probably. I don't want to see that happen to LeBaron Filon. I think he's a better player than that. I think JD Davison with some more development could have been a better player than that, and in a different situation probably is a different player than he is being used as right now. But yeah, I don't want to see LeBaron get relegated to the G League for 4 or 5 years and then have to sit on the bench for I don't know how long and just never really turn into a guy in the NBA. I think he has the potential to be a very solid player, and I'd like to see him reach that potential.
I would as well. So we'll look and see. We will look and see what will happen with LeBaron June 25th. The deadline to withdraw, I think, is 10 days earlier. So I think it's the 15th. And we'll see if he does or if he doesn't.
All right. I think we talked about this, yeah, too. Like, with the NCAA having virtually no power at this moment in time, I don't think it's all that crazy to think that he could wait all the way till the night of the draft, find out, oh, I didn't get picked tonight, and then say, you know what, I'm going back to Alabama. And they'd figure it out.
Yes. Everybody talking about Quinn Ewers. Everybody talking about, just sue. And I hate to be that way,
but like, it works.
That's been the method is, oh, I need my extra year. I'm going to sue the NCAA, yep. Diego Pavia.
Like, they say, oh, well, all right. Yeah, sure.
Well, we don't want to fight
every time. So the opportunity is there for you, LeBaron. If it does not go the way that you want, maybe.
Maybe he can make some waves and change some precedent, and come back to school if he doesn't get drafted by the team he likes. Let's keep going here on the Joe Gaither Show, Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. We appreciate everybody who's watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, who's watching us on my own Facebook machines, listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. Lots of people are doing that over the last 2 days. I love that. That makes me so happy. Let me tell you, we are proudly sponsored by Derek Daniel of State Farm right here in Tuscaloosa. Derek Daniel is your go-to place for all your insurance needs. Home, life, auto insurance, right here, State Farm is the place. You need a local agent who will take care of you, a local agent who knows the area, a local agent who knows your name, who knows exactly about what your family's dealing with. Derek Daniel is that. Derek will get to know you. He will get you on the books and take care of you. Home, life, auto insurance. You got renter's insurance, boater's insurance. Really, anything in the insurance realm, Derek Daniel and State Farm can take care of you. 205-758-3391. Give them a quick call today. Red, Reese, and Victoria, they would love to talk to you. They would love to take your auto insurance quote, let you know how they can save you money, get you better coverage. Tell them the Joe Gaither Show sent you. We're broadcasting live in their basement 5 times a week. We appreciate them hosting us so much. Call Derek Daniel today. See how much money he can save you. I know he can. Call and see how much Derek can save you today. Mason, let's keep it going. Let me scratch these two things off of our list. Okay, yeah, perfect. Let's shift gears a little bit to football. We love you, Wyatt Fulton. So this is a joke, fully a joke. Last week, Wyatt Fulton stole from me my trap game. What is the biggest trap game of the Alabama football season? No, that is a joke. I want to make it clear. There are plenty of topics for everyone to go around. But
great minds think alike.
Exactly. He's smart. He's on the track. I'm stealing from you, Wyatt, today. Wyatt, yesterday, going, who is your breakout candidate for Alabama football? Mm. And I thought, you know what, Wyatt? I'll take that from you. I think that's a good topic. I think that's a great topic. And look, the quarterbacks are the easiest choice, the lowest hanging fruit, because you haven't seen any of them really in real action. So don't take Ty Simpson. Don't take Keelan Russell or Austin Mack, because, yes, whoever the starting quarterback ends up being, whether they're all world or just average, they've kind of broken out by default. your starting quarterback for Alabama.
I think that's an easy way out. It's a cop out answer if you're picking the quarterback here.
Oh god,
I think I got a fun one.
We're gonna go top three, top five. What do you think, Mason? Because I haven't really brainstormed this. I saw it yesterday. I've got some that I love, but
yeah, I've got a few stewing around in my head. I think one that maybe will surprise people.
All right, my favorite breakout candidate. Okay, my favorite breakout candidate is James Smith. That's my safest bet that what player, I mean, all the Alabama fans, you've heard of him, you're aware of him, you know him, but the Georgia fan, the Tennessee fan, the people who are just paying attention to their own school don't know who James Smith is. And I think by the third or fourth game, they're going to say, oh, we got to get that 23. We got to get 23 blocked. Where is he? I'm really, really excited about what he could be. I think he's probably my number one breakout candidate.
I like that pick. I'm going to maybe a hot take here.
Yeah, go for it.
Give me Olaso Lennon. Mm-hmm. Give me Olaso Lennon. He is going to secure that job. He's going to be your starting guard, and he is going to be fantastic this season as a starting guard, I think. He's been here for so long. We've seen him develop. We've watched him, not only grow like on the field, but like you see the genuine physical transformation. He looks like a starting, offensive lineman now. Whereas when he got here, he was just kind of a doughy little European boy. He has been molded into a monster of a man now by the Alabama football program. And I think that he is really ready to take over that job and not leave it and leave everybody else behind him in the dust.
I love that pick a lot. I do follow Mr. Olaso Lennon on some social medias, and I know he's been over in Europe post-spring. Post spring semester, he was in Italy with the family, I'm sure, and doing the Switzerland stuff, doing the Finland stuff, getting back home for a little bit, as you should. Well done, sir. I love that pick, and I love it because maybe it's just off the field hooey that doesn't matter, but I think that he, Wilkin, and Caden Proctor are very close. Now, that could just be my outside perspective, but the whispers and things that I see and that I know that Wilk and Caden are very close. That's as obvious as can be. That was pretty much revealed in Caden's transfer saga. I think that Olas is three's a crowd in that group. And I think all three of them are kind of like, hey, man, this is our year. Yeah. Caden's gone through it. Wilkins gone through it, gone through the ringers of the social media hooey. I think that I love that pick. I think that he could be that left guard and could be a mauler.
Yeah, that's who I'm rocking with.
Okay. We got James Smith. We got Olas Lennon. Okay, I'm not – Ryan and Jeremy are too easy. Lotsier Brooklyn's too easy. Lotsier's too – Isaiah Horton is too easy. Okay, Jam is not a candidate.
One of the running backs maybe, though.
Yeah, Richard's not a candidate either. It's Daniel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Was that one of your picks?
He was one of the players I had bounced around in my head, definitely. I like him, too.
I think – I'm curious to see what Drew in Washington does, like how he fits in here. You heard the comment Ryan Grubb made after spring. Well, four running backs wasn't enough last year. They would have said four wasn't enough. Cheek. You know, and he's right a little bit. I think Daniel Hill has the tools to be Eddie Lacy type-ish. Yes. Like, get out of my bleeping way. And if you are out of my way, I will build up a lot of steam, a lot more steam than you want to be in front of.
I'm looking at 6'1", 242. That's the kind of running back I'm looking for.
Tank.
Like, he's going to bowl you over and not even think twice about it. Not even notice that you hit him.
This is a Humvee, baby.
Yeah. Get everybody, we're giving the ball to Daniel Hill, and we're going 4 yards in a cloud of dust. We're going 3, 4, 5 yards every play. It's just going to run it down your throat. And then he's going to break one, and he's going to run your safety over with about 15 yards of steam.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, like, the safety, it will look bad. That will be a speed bump.
He is murder ball. That is murder ball. Daniel Hill, murder ball.
Yeah, so I'm going Daniel Hill for sure.
I like that pick.
I think that he's got a chance. With that said, Jam and Richard are definitely going to be 1 and 1A. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's going to be some, hey, we need a little different. We need a little element here. I think Daniel Hill gives you that element.
I'll jump over to the defensive side. I've been talking about this guy so much. I got to go with Red Morgan. I love Red Morgan. I have loved Red Morgan. I will continue to love Red Morgan. I think he is, I don't know that he's going to be similar.
I think he will play.
I don't know that he's going to be on the field for every snap or anything like that. But I think when he's on the field, you will notice because he is going to be laying guys out. He is going to be a thumper. I've said it before. Reminds me, I think, a lot of Malachi Moore. And whereas may not be the most physically impressive guy, not the most skilled guy, but like he just plays. It just hard. The guy just goes hard. You can't teach going hard, and he goes hard. It's amazing. I love Red Morgan. I think he just has a fire about him that not a lot of players have, and I think that's very valuable on a defense.
The thing with Red is that I think that he has been committed to the University of Alabama since he put on football pads. And I think that's hyperbole for sure. If you're not picking that up, but I think that really he is living exactly what he wants to be doing right now, playing for Alabama. He's in a tough room, right? Sure. He's in a tough spot with Xavier Mincy, Deshaun Jones, kind of getting after him. What are you going to do with the Husky spot? But I do think he's going to get a lot of run, and I think he's going to become a fan favorite like Bray Hubbard was last year. As soon as you say Alabama native, and then you hit boom.
Yep.
Boom. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, that's my guy right there. 16. You're going to see those jerseys all over the place. I think that's a good pick. I'll stay in that room because I think that his biggest challenge is Xavier Mincy.
Yeah.
Xavier Mincy is like just an alien like Dijon Lee. I think King Womack's got a problem in quotation marks. I'm like, he's not a problem. He's got to keep people happy with playing time and decide, okay, who gets leeway? How much do you get? Because I think the depth is so good that you might be, hey, buddy, one slip up, you're out. Because the leeway, you may not. Last year, I think you had some leeway because do I throw this freshman out there? How many times do I throw the freshman out there? I think King Womack's got a huge problem on our hands with getting all these guys on the field And ultimately, I think it won't. Like, we say that from a traditionalist perspective, but I think in a modern football, what we saw last year of just three or four snaps and out, just platooning guys. I don't know why you wouldn't when you've been recruiting at such a good, at such a high level. Maybe there is room for Red and Xavier Mincy to break out. Maybe not, but I just feel good about Xavier Mincy.
Yeah, I think it's a good pick. And, I think there is the notion of just like you said, three, four plays, you're out, three, four plays, next guy. I love that. I love that they did that last year. I hope that we see more of that this season. You know, I think that you have the talent to feel a lot more comfortable doing that because of just how much more experience this room is now. And like that also causes so many headaches for an offense. You know, you're cycling three, four guys out every few plays. They have to, you know,
an offense. How many game plans do I have to keep in my head as a left tackle?
There's so much, so many more moving pieces when you are rotating guys in and out like that for the offense has to consider. Mm-hmm. And I have to imagine that is an invaluable advantage that you have. It's, I don't know. I don't know why you would go away from that.
So, yeah, you're a left tackle, and you've got to get ready for LT Overton. You got to get ready for Quay Russo. You got to get ready for Kelby Collins. You got to get ready for James Smith. You got to just go down the daggum line, and you're just getting lost in your game plans at that point. Oh, is this guy speed rusher? Is this guy power rusher? A lot of those. Blah, blah, blah. So I think you're just getting lost there. I'll go one more.
I'm torn on another one.
None of the tight ends. I'm not playing any tight ends.
I wanted to pick one, but none of them excite me that much.
All right, I'll pick a true freshman. What is your name? Justin.
I'll take one of the tight ends. Give me Dalton Brody. He's fill that Robbie Oots role well. Everybody will love him.
All right. You go Dalton Brody, and I'll end with Justin Hill. So you want to go first with Dalton Brody? Just take two seconds.
I mean, you know, yeah, you I think it. I really said it you all. Said I, think it. He is, I don't think he's going to do a whole lot outside of basically take over Robbie Utes' role from last season, and I think he will do that well. I think he's got the build to do that well. I think he showed at Troy he was able to kind of take that role over, and I'm excited to see what he does in that role. Very quickly, I think he could become a fan favorite because of just the way he plays and the role he's going to have within the offense.
I like that. Fan favorite can definitely be a breakout, even if they're not a star or not.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not going to have all the stats.
I'm going Justin Hill as a true freshman, and that is a real big dart throw to me because I think the Wolf room is packed. But I think that Justin Hill is going to end up finding himself in real pass rushing downs. Like, sorry, buddy, you're not playing on first and 10. You're probably not playing on second and 12. I'm talking about third and 10 or longer, third and 8 or longer. You're going to get rotated in some. I think Justin Hill is going to be a guy that I like Yonzi Pierre so much. But I think Justin Hill is a very natural pass rusher with a lot of tools that what we heard out of spring was, he's got some physical tools that, you know, kind of pop in this room. Explosive off the line, quick with his hands. I think
he's so long.
Right. You're going to need to polish him up, obviously, as a true freshman. But I think that he will, I say breakout candidate. I'm not meaning he's going to lead the league in sacks. Not at all. I'm meaning he will probably find himself on the all freshman team because he's got himself four sacks. And you're like, wow, can't wait to see him next year. Type player.
Well, we set it at 3.5, 4.5.
Yeah. I feel good about that. If it's 4.5, I'll go under. If it's 3.5, I'll go over.
I think he's going to be a good player. But yeah, like you said, you're not going to necessarily, you know, pop off the stat sheet, but kind of a guy where when you see him on the field, it's like, oh, he's going to be somebody.
Mm-hmm. So breakout candidates. All right. That's fun.
I think we got some good ones in there.
Remind us the three or four that you just said, and I'll remind you.
I said Alausa Lennon, Red Morgan, and Dalton Brody. And you know what? We'll throw Alex Asparov in there, too. He's going to hit a big field goal. I'm ready for it. He's going to...
I'm going James Smith. I went James Smith. I went Red Morgan, Daniel Hill, and Justin Hill.
Yeah. I think good players. I feel really good about this year's team. Obviously, I have flip-flopped and waffled about the quarterback situation. I'm still flip-flopping and waffling on the quarterback situation, but everything else I think is fantastic on this year's on this team. I think it's Dare, I don't want to, you know, say this and put the expectation on him, but like it kind of feels like 2020 again, where it's just like, oh, quarterback's not going to have to do a whole lot because the rest of the team is so good around him.
I think that's a fair assessment. You're seeing a lot of pundits, Mason. This is a nice little segue talking about Alabama making the playoff. Oh, I would bet on them making the playoff. I'd bet on them bouncing back. I feel good. Josh Pate getting major vibes on them. You get a lot of ESPN folks, a lot of major vibes on them. Is that crazy? It's not crazy. Come on.
It's crazy at all. I really don't. I think when you go down player by player and you run through this year's roster, I mean, you know, looking at the lineup here, they got guys everywhere. There are just guys. There are really, really good football players at just about every position. Now, some of them are unproven. Some of them we've not seen. And it's a bit of a projection from us. But I just feel really good about this roster top to bottom. I don't think you have any glaring holes anywhere.
I agree. So we'll see what they do over the summer. We'll look for some of these guys to break out. Mason, why don't we use this to transition into college football playoff talk after we tell everybody about Warren Tire.
So my name is Russ Warren, and I'm one of the owners here at Warren Tire. We started in 1961. My granddad on University Boulevard, so we've been kind of a staple here in the Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama community since then. And so thankful to be in the third generation. And we have two locations now in Tuscaloosa. We're right here at the 15th Street location right now, where we just do tires, brakes, and alignments mostly here. Our university location does oil changes, engine work, air conditioning work, front end work, the whole nine yards. And so any of our two locations, you can come check us out.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Big shout out to Warren Tire. Wife had to take the car up there yesterday and get a new tire on it. Got her in and out without 30 minutes. It was sweet. Easy. Easy peasy. Very, very good stuff.
Love that.
Good price on it too. Gave her a little discount. That was nice. Just for the trouble. It wasn't anything that she did. Just, hey, here's a little discount. You know, having a tough day. Go ahead. So shout out Warren Tire.
That makes me juiced up and happy. I know Melissa.
She had three holes in the tire.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, one of them from a nail, and the other two had worn out. Wow. Like some of the tire worn weird. So a little rotation. Get a new tire on there. We're good to go.
There we go. Back on the road. Melissa's mm-hmm. back in her life.
Yeah, we'll get a new set of four in probably 6 months or so.
There we go. You can call. You can be like Miss Melissa and call them on the 15th Street location, 205-759-5505 if you want to get in there, or on the University Boulevard location if you got non-tire work, non-brake work, 205-758-2739. They split them up just to keep them efficient. So you can be like Miss Melissa and get in and out.
Yeah, I mean, she did it on like a lunch break. It was easy.
I love that. That's as good as an ad read as you can get right there. I love it. That's awesome.
We got to get a testimonial.
Exactly. Well, I'll go over there and just start taking yeah, little put the microphone in people's faces. Mason, oh my gosh, we touched this on All Things Bama last week, mm-hmm. just a little bit. If you're not listening to All Things Bama, that is our supplementary podcast that Mason leads, and you can hear it once a week. Mason's hitting things and topics that we kind of miss on the Joe Gaither Show. Oh, right at the end of the week last week, this kind of broke out, and so I feel like we need to talk about it on the Joe Gaither Show. Goodness gracious. New college football playoff ideas.
Boo!
Yeah, big boo. Big, massive boo. Right now, we're in a 12-team playoff, and nothing has changed. You're still in the 12-team playoff. Everything is locked in from it was last year, but the proposed changes are moving it from 12 to 16 teams, okay, and more automatic qualifiers.
That's the most egregious part. Y'all, you know, you can shove 16 teams. You can just force me to take it, and I'll throw my hands up and say, whatever, do what you want, CFP. You rule everything now. But I'm going to draw the line at these automatic qualifiers. Like, it. It is completely antithetical to the point of the college football playoff to have automatic qualifiers. You are looking for the best of the best. If you say, oh, well, all you have to do is reach this parameter to get in, you're not looking for the best. It's ridiculous. I hate it.
The proposed changes range the automatic qualifiers from five, which you already knew, the four Power Five conference champions and the one highest ranked group of six champion. There's your five. From five to 11. 11 of the 16 spots being automatically decided. Big Ten and SEC receiving four guaranteed spots each. What? The Big 12 and the ACC receiving two automatic spots each. And the group of six receiving one automatic spot. So that makes the other five spots. Let's see. Under the proposed changes, that would leave just three at-large bids to be made available to anyone who did not receive an automatic qualifying bid. Does that leave me right? 11 plus 3 is 14. With the new changes that have been offered up, the number of automatic qualifiers would raise from 5 to 11. With the Big 12, 8, that's 8. 9, 10, 11, 12.
Did they get their math 13. Wrong?
Yeah, they got their math wrong. The automatic qualifiers is not 11. It's 13. Yeah.
Even worse.
Yeah, they got their math wrong. It's 4 for the Big Ten, and the SEC is 8. And then two another 4 for Big Ten, that's 12. And then the automatic qualifiers, 13 for the group of 6. Yes, they got their math wrong. Three spots for your Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame's getting one of those spots, yep. Right? So two spots for your third place team in the Big 12, maybe? Two spots for your Tulane? For your UCF? For, I don't care, name your your group of five school that you like. Liberty? Like Jacksonville State? This is disgusting to me.
So dumb.
It's disgusting to me. Because what you're going to end up having is you're going to end up having a situation where you got your four SEC schools and you're going to end up having a team like a Tulane and a team like an Ole Miss or South Carolina or Alabama. Doesn't matter. Pick whatever SEC school is in fifth and says, we should be in over undefeated Tulane, one loss Tulane over one loss Coastal Carolina.
It does not matter how much you expand the damn playoff. We will still argue about the final spots. It's going to happen year after year after year after year after year. You can expand it to 128 teams. We're still going to argue about that 129th team. They deserved it more than 128. It's just so insane. And
that team will never win it.
They're never going to win it. And I know it is all money. It's all, let's get as many games as we can. Let's get as many sponsors as we can. Let's get as many TV packages as we can. But, oh, my God. It is just so dumb. It is so, so stupid. It is ruining what was a great idea in its genesis, the college football playoff. We needed it. We needed some kind of playoff to decide the champion of college football rather than putting it in a computer or letting one game throw two teams at each other and figure it out. We needed it. But we've gotten so far away from it now that it's back to being useless. We're no longer deciding who the best team is in college football. It's, well, can you meet these parameters and then can you do all this? And it's just absurd. Let the BCS rank teams 1 to 12 and give me those teams in a playoff.
I mean, 12 is good. 12 is fine. Yeah. 4 was
not enough. I think 8 was like your perfect number, which now it's been shifted a bit because we don't really have Power 5 anymore. It's Power 4, but when I thought 8, it was you get your five Power 5 champions and three at large. Like that would have been great. But 12 is fine. You don't need to go past 12. We don't need to be playing the same length of game or the same amount of games as the NFL. This it's just insane. I know these kids are getting paid a lot, but they're still not professional athletes by your standard NCAA, CFP, whoever. It's ridiculous.
And I just have an issue with, well, we finished third in the SEC. We're baked in. Maybe. Like this past year, yeah. This past year, third was Tennessee. Ole Miss. Tennessee. Yes, Tennessee. Thank you. Like, yes, you're in. You're one of the 12 best teams. Like, why? I know that that is a subjective line. Who are the 12 best teams? It's up to my subject interpretation, yeah. Mason's subject interpretation, your subject interpretation.
This is why we make it a computer that does it.
Right. I am finishing fourth in the Big Ten. It should not guarantee you a playoff spot. Finishing fourth in the SEC, this is not about the Big Ten. It's about just the health of the sport. Finishing fourth in the SEC should not guarantee you a playoff spot. Finishing second in the ACC should not guarantee you a playoff spot. You should take this thing year by year and just, hey guys, let's use our dead gum brains. Let's make sure we got football people on these committees who can select the teams. And if you want to use the dead gum, look, the BCS formula worked.
Yeah.
The BCS formula actually worked. And people go, well, you can influence. It was largely computers. Largely polls and computers, and you talk about bias this and bias that, but like they compiled so many different computers that they kind of ironed out the bias, in my opinion.
It was not a bunch of people sitting in a boardroom with their own personal biases, right, trying to get what's good for them.
I like Alabama. Their brand makes us money. We need to put them in. Like, let's not shy away from that. There's a little bit of that going on.
1,000%.
But this is not a good, I mean, further, killing college football. Let's just keep killing college football. Here's the only hope, Mason. ESPN's Pete Thamel mentions the overlap that college football saw with the NFL last year was worrying. Quote, there's not a lot of places to put games right now. The appetite for fierce growth TV-wise is likely not to be that high because the windows to showcase and maximize them financially aren't there. Now, I say that as today or tomorrow. Today or tomorrow, the NFL is putting out its schedule.
Yeah, I think it's another international games were announced today, so maybe it's happening kind of throughout the day today.
Right, so Black Friday, isn't that... yeah, Black Friday, you got a doubleheader. I know the Bears are playing because I already saw that. Essentially, what I saw was that these first-round games are already going to be overlapped with the NFL games. And so it's like, am I watching the Bears or am I watching college football playoff? Like, can we not just, like, we're at the point where it's too much. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I saw you need 10 streaming services to watch the NFL this year. And blah, 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 you need all the streaming services and all the local packages and all the premium packages.
The bubble has burst.
Right. I'm going to just miss some NFL games this year or just use, you know, pirate mode. Like, I'm sorry, like this, and you're talking about a number one consumer right here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I'm top 1% of football consumer. I don't want to toot my own horn, but like, we're there.
And you're, and I'm telling you, it's too much. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh! So I hope that there is some serious resistance to moving to 16. But I think that these college football these administrators, these presidents, just say, "Well, if we make all we got to do is finish fourth,
yep,
like we'll be in. Like that's how we get ourselves that money because big money to make the playoffs, big money to advance, big money, all sorts of stuff. We can get our extra piece of the pie, guarantee our piece of the pie, and of course budgets. You know, it's easier when they're guaranteed."
Maybe the Saban Commission can
save us.
Some kind words about this, or maybe some not so kind words about this, and move some things around once that happens. I understand that's going to take a while to come to fruition, probably, and maybe so long that we do end up moving to a 16 team playoff before it does, because it seems like they're moving at a breakneck pace here. But that's really the only thing we can hope for at this point, because yeah, big business is just ruining college sports. The money aspect of everything is ruining college sports. It's unfortunate. Just is what it is.
Save us, Dick Saban. You're our only hope.
You think that just from its inception, the college football playoff was always just going to be a flawed system because the talent pool is so the amount. It's just such a wide net to cast. There's no way to objectively grade teams against each other because there's so few interconference play. There's so little interconference play. There's so few matchups you can look at one team against another and say, "Oh, the common opponent." Yeah. And we've said it before, but again, it comes back to it. This is all just going to end with the SEC and Big Ten making their own league, about 40 teams.
Yes, this is the moving. We're moving on. Because
that's why the NFL playoffs work. There's only 32 teams. You know how good those teams are. You can objectively say, "Oh, you have this record. This is where you rank in the playoffs," and nobody can argue it.
Right. The schedules are equally balanced every year, and it's based on who you win and lost against. Yep. And there's a formula to it all. There's no, well, I'll call you up and see if you want to schedule a game.
There's just no argument allowed.
Y'all are bad this year. We need a free win. Yes, I do think the disbursement of talent makes it very difficult to select a fair playoff, because I do think that if you were selecting a fair playoff, you would have an over-representation of the SEC and Big Ten. Sure. Like, part of this is, oh, we got to keep it fair. Everybody gets a trophy. The ACC gets invited, too. But I just have a problem with, like, even being an SEC fan with, oh, we got to bake in our four bids. No, if Ole Miss is good enough, if Alabama's good enough, if Tennessee's anyway. Good enough, right, exactly. Yep. If Florida and LSU, if they're good enough, I don't care. Pick your school. Auburn, who's never made the playoffs, if any of them are good enough, they're just going to get in. And, like, you can talk about last year. Alabama should have been in. By golly, I think you would. I think you saw, like, a first-round game on the road. Did you want to get the SMU? Did you want to get the SMU treatment at Penn State? I'm sorry, I didn't want to get that SMU. It would have been a cool experience to be in Happy Valley, but it would have been like, oh my gosh, Jalen Milroe, you're splitting your feet again. Oh, Jalen Milroe, are you reading anything?
Been in it for the Seahawks. Looking good in training camp. Looking good in minicamp.
Great, and I'm pulling for you. But point is, that team probably
that team's not winning the title.
Right. It stunk to be left out, and Alabama had an argument. Sure. You had an argument, and we made the argument. But, like, you know, ultimately, it's not that big of a deal that you were left out. Because the team...
Probably for the best.
Yes. So, like, if you're good, you don't need to be baked in.
Yeah.
You don't need to be, we got to have an automatic path here. I think it's
just admitting that you're not as good as you actually are.
Yes.
It's just admitting that we're scared. We're worried. We're not going to get as many teams as we think we're, you know, we're scared that we're not as good as we've banged our chest being, and we're worried. So we need these confirmations. But, you know, like you said, if you were actually that good, you'll have the teams there. So it won't matter in the end. I do think the SEC and Big Ten are actually that good. I don't know why they're this concerned about it. You see, this is way off topic, but Jalen Milroe a little bit. I saw this on Twitter. Kurt Benker, you've seen him on Twitter, mm-hmm. Former NFL quarterback, yep. Now does media things on YouTube and such. He's running through watching quote tweets, a video of Jalen Milroe throwing it at practice, Seahawks practice. And, like, noticeably, there's some zip on the ball, more so than it was at Alabama. It seems like he's just got more control. And, you know, it's a 30, 40-second clip, so take it easy. But he explains, like, the conditioning and things, the preparation for footballs is so different in an NFL, on an NFL field, in an NFL program, facility, than it was in college for him, than it was at the combine for him, than it was at any pro day for him. And just wondering how much that has affected potentially his ability to throw. I don't know. It was very interesting to me.
You're talking about the feel of the ball, like the wear and tear of the ball?
Yeah,
they
rub the ball. You know, in the NFL, they use a certain specific mud compound that and they all rub it down and they wipe it. And, you know, the Nike footballs, I've heard people complain about them not being the best in the past. I don't think that was the reason Jalen Milroe was a not great quarterback at Alabama, but it may have contributed.
Hey, you gotta feel the ball in your hands.
It was interesting because, boy, he looked good in that Seahawks clip. Now, it was a clip, so take it as you will, but it was fun. It was an interesting conversation.
He looked good last year in that back shoulder throw to whoever it was in spring, wasn't it? Was that Ryan last fall, or was it Jeremy last fall? It was somebody. Somebody
got I know what you're talking about, though.
Got themselves a nice back shoulder throw, and everybody thought, oh, Jalen Milroe for Heisman.
It was interesting.
Was interesting. Mason, last thing for us, and this is not Alabama related, but NBA draft lottery last night.
Rigged!
What?
Rigged. And the evidence to support it is just not great. It's fairly damning, honestly.
Everybody who says it's not rigged, their only answer is, you're silly, it's not rigged.
Yes.
You're silly, of course.
I think it's going back 4 or 5 seasons now. The team that has traded their superstar in the middle of the season has then gone on to get the number one overall pick that same in the draft lottery. It was the Pelicans, Anthony Davis. I think it goes back to that one and so on and so forth, various teams since then. And now it's the Mavericks traded Luka Doncic, and whenever it was, Jim, I don't even remember when it was now. It's been a while.
Yeah, they did the league a favor, sending a star to L.A.
And now they get their, you know, their payment for it in return in Cooper Flagg, basically. It's going to be Cooper Flagg. We all know it's going to be Cooper Flagg. It's insane. They had a 1.8% chance of making or of earning the of winning the number one overall pick in the NBA draft last night, and they did it. A team that was one game away from being in the playoffs, a team that was, I believe, 29 games better than the worst team in the league. It's just ridiculous.
This explains the GM's attitude the last three months to me. The GM's attitude the last 3 months is bleep off. This was for the best interest of our team. Sorry, guys. I know y'all had Luka jerseys, but this was for the best interest of the team.
You're going to really like the way that Cooper Flagg jersey
looks. It's gonna work out. Trust me. I got a plan. He kept on. This is the plan. Trust the
Yeah.
And boom, we've got a Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
My issue is you're seeing reporters take up for the NBA, and more often than not, I am on the reporter's side, and they're saying the reason it's not televised is because it's boring. The reason it's not televised is because it's convoluted, because the process takes a long time. Mm-hmm. Essentially, the way that I understand it is these ping pong balls, and it comes up, and okay, it's the Knicks. Okay, it's the Pelicans. But like you can draw the Knicks over and over and over and over and over. That's just an example. I know they're in the playoffs. I'm just picking.
But if they're like that could happen.
Right.
Each team has the worst amount of injuries. The
Wizards are terrible. You could be drawing the Wizards over and over and over until you get that next lottery ball and they say, oh, it's boring. Okay, fine. Put that on YouTube. Put it on YouTube. Put it on your social medias. It's fine if you don't think it's compelling enough to be on ESPN. Perfect.
A little live stream. Doesn't take anything.
Yes.
You need no production quality for that.
Literally, ambient mic in the room, Adam Silver drawing ping pong balls. Mm-hmm. Drawing ping pong balls, and you were just watching the
And so
you
got a wide shot of the whole room.
Yeah, and the people who say it's rigged can then shut up. And the people who say it's not rigged can then say,
we told you.
Like, right now, I love WWE. I know it's rigged. I haven't watched the NBA seriously in a long time. And for many reasons. But this is part of it. You told us last week how many games got up to a 20-30 point margin and then get close at the end just to make it fun for the fans again. It's like, oh, I don't know if this is the best product. I don't know if this is the best way to be going about this thing.
No, the NBA is in a very strange spot right now, it seems like. And I say this as a very casual consumer. I'm not somebody watching regular season games night in, night out. I honestly probably maybe watch one regular season game in its entirety this whole season. I usually will lock in and watch the playoffs, which I've been watching the playoffs now. Seeing last night the Knicks beat the Celtics. That was unfortunate for Jason Tatum, but lovely for the rest of America getting to see the Celtics lose. But yeah, the NBA is just seemingly in a weird spot. I don't know. It's I can't be like it. Nothing about it makes me want to watch the regular season. Any teams that are remotely local to this area, they're all awful. The Grizzlies are the best ones, maybe, but the Grizzlies aren't winning anything. It's just it is all about the superstars getting them to the coast. It's all about getting a superstar to LA or to New York or to some big market. They're so blatant with it. There's no I don't think the NFL is rigged.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think potentially there's a chance that there is some overarching league meetings that say, hey, we want these kinds of things to happen this season. Sure.
I think the NFL is more on incompetent officiating than rigging.
Sure, probably. But the
and yes, know, to your it, point, it just, they tell them to focus on certain calls. Yes, they do.
It just feels like the NBA is so, I don't know. I say it as a very casual consumer. I'm not watching every game, so I don't know. I'm not the best person to ask this. It just feels like right now it's in an awful spot where it's just, all right, let's get whatever big market we can to the championship. Let's make sure they've got everything they need at their disposal, and then we'll figure it out. Their fans will be super happy, but everybody else is going to be SOL.
Yeah, my buddy is a big old Milwaukee Bucks fan. He's about to lose his star, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, he's going to the Rockets.
Yeah, my buddy says, oh, it's fine because he's given Milwaukee everything he can. But that's because my buddy has perspective.
The thing, He shouldn't have to do that. Milwaukee should be able to continue to compete for championships, but it took a... people do not give him enough respect for that playoff run. Like, Giannis was incredible. It took him being the just world-class, you know, absolute world beater out there on the court, doing everything he possibly could for them to just get there. And they'll never get there again.
My goodness. So, yeah, NBA, Cooper Flagg, congratulations. You're going to the Dallas Mavericks. And great. You're going to look great in that uniform. A lot of Caucasian fellas have. So that'll work out well for you. Mason, tomorrow on the program, know thy enemy, know your enemy, the Florida Gators. So we got to talk about Billy Napier. We got to find out the fighting DJ Lagways, find out if they got anybody on defense and look at their schedule. We'll do same sort of plan that we did last week with Texas, kind of start with an overview. Then we'll talk about strengths. We'll talk about weaknesses. Then we'll talk about their schedule and kind of place them in the SEC. So that'll be tomorrow. Know thy enemy, the Florida Gators. You can call. Please do. Leave us a voicemail about Florida, 205-462-7340, extension 800. Do you think Billy Napier is getting fired this year? He actually did a really, really good job last year. I thought he was going to get fired before the year started. And ended up navigating a really difficult schedule. So I'm looking forward to talking to Florida Gators.
I think he earned a lot of grace with the up highs at Florida.
I think he did as well. So we'll talk about Florida tomorrow, and we will kick off part number two of Know Your Enemy tomorrow with the Florida Gators. You can call at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Leave us a comment, question, query, or complaint at JoeGaither6, at MAWoods_, at Bama Central. Subscribe, rate, review the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon. Go see Warren Tire for all your car needs. Call Derek Daniel for all your insurance needs. And check us out tomorrow on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.